A 66-yard try. Tucker's kick is on the way. It is good. Crossbar, and it tumbles through. It is good.
Super kick, Pate.
Justin Tucker with the longest field goal in NFL history.
I never thought I would see such an epic kick in heavy indoor air,
right,
where there's no tailwind.
No.
You get no help.
You get nothing.
Justin Tucker is not human. The best kicker the NFL has ever seen.
Tucker's kick is one of the coolest football plays I've ever seen in my life.
I have never seen such leg talent as he has.
No.
You convert a 4th and 19, and then you kick a 66-yard field goal that hits the crossbar and drops over. You can't make it up.
Credit to Justin Tucker, truly one of the best in the game. We were having a conversation yesterday that he's the greatest kicker ever, maybe the most clutch kicker ever. Justin Tucker with an absolute rocket at the end of the day. He said, I know I crushed it.
Talking about this forever.
Slow down.
Get to it, buddy.
Hey, way to do
great
your job.
Way to do it, okay?
Tell us what you did with this football today.
Well, I kicked it.
Yep.
66 yards.
Wait, how many? How many?
66.
66. Okay. Is that a record or anything?
I believe it is.
Okay, I didn't know. I wasn't sure.
He's the GOAT, man. That's the GOAT.
Justin Tucker, which is, you know, he's the best kicker in history.
I love Detroit. I'm thinking about getting a place here.
To come through is it's a big deal for myself. It's a big deal for Nick Moore throwing his first game-winning snap.
But all I can say is trust, man. Trust God. Trust this team. Like, we got something special.
Bro, that was the craziest kick I ever seen. I don't think we can do that on Madden. I'm about to create a kicker just for that.
Justin Tucker, Hall of Fame kicker.
Super kick. We're killing the business. Last scarcely more than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me. As my hopes have flown before, and the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to the Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm,
Overcast,
Google Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Facebook, and Facebook actually released their own podcast.
Is it better than Apple?
Yeah, right now it's better than, well, I don't know. We'll see. When this show gets posted, we'll see if Facebook actually can find it. But I have a setup. It should work. Only time will tell when this comes out whether or not Facebook plays it. But, hey, we will see. But you can listen to us directly on Facebook. No video feed that I got to put up. So it takes a little work off my back, so I'm cool with that. But, hey, let's talk about the Ravens. Let's do this. It's a super kick party! Justin Tucker making history. This past Sunday, 66 yards. What a field goal in Detroit again. These guys, I mean, at this point, they got to just be like, you know what? You know, this guy just owns our city. We are under Mayor Tucker. That is what we're doing right now. So joining me as always, talk all about it, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. This team just continues to surprise.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, again, we have a lot to talk about again, but I don't know. I'm going to just ask you this. Have you ever seen it in the same three-game stretch? Let's rewind it. Monday Night Football, right? You obviously bolted out of the stadium because you were like, oh, we lost. The Ravens go ahead with a Tucker field goal with 30-some seconds left. Ravens are about to win. Woo, we're all going crazy. Oh, wait, they tied the game overtime. And then talk about overtime, and we're talking Monday Night Football 3 weeks ago. Oh, wait, we just lost. Oh, wait, no, we didn't. Oh, wait, intercept the ball. Oh, we have a chance. Oh, wait, fumble. Oh, wait, lost. Like, it was like the roller coaster motions, and then take it to week two, Sunday Night Football against the Chiefs, right? Pick six to start the game. Oh, great, we're going to get blown out. Here we go again. Oh, wait, no, the Ravens pull within it. They tie it. And then the Chiefs go up. The Chiefs go up 11 twice in the game, and then, oh, wait, the Ravens at the end of the game obviously missed two two-point conversions on two touchdowns, and then they give the ball back to the Chiefs, and you're thinking, okay, great, man, because of the wasted timeouts, we're just waiting for them to kick the field goal. Oh, wait, we got the fumble. Game over. Oh, wait, no, it's not. The Ravens still got to get a first down. Oh, wait, they convert the fourth down. It's over finally, and then take it to week three, right? You're up 13-0 on the road, getting frustrated because you're trading field goals and touchdowns. You know, they broke the streak of being in the red zone and scoring a touchdown. They had to kick a field goal. So you're like, all right, Ravens up two scores, 13-0, or two or three scores, no matter the way you dice it, two scores with two touchdowns. And then you're like, all right. And then as the game was going on, Brandon, you're like, they're letting this team hang around. What's going on? And then take it to the end of the game. You know, the Lions go up, you know, they kick a field goal. And then the Ravens, obviously, because they're blunder and wasting a timeout on a challenge, which is another blunder in coaching, even though we know Harbaugh is a very, very, very good coach by his resume. And then you're like, here we go again. And it takes a miracle two-play sequence, a 4th-and-19 conversion. So how crazy is it that on the week leading up to our opponent going to Denver, And like with the Maha Miracle game thrown in there years ago, in that same year, we converted 4th-and-29 against the Chargers. Then you go to 4th-and-19, and probable as it was. And then Tucker lines up and you're like, no way. Like, and you're in the back of your mind, bro. You're already like mad because you're like, he missed a field goal earlier in the game of like, what, 49 yards,
right?
Which at that point it's a chip shot. And then you're like, well, if he just made that field goal, we already won the game. Like, you're already playing that woulda, shoulda, coulda game, leaving points on the board, and then going back to Hollywood's two dropped would have probably been touchdowns, which we can certainly dissect a little bit. But and then going at the end of the game, you know, the Ravens are scrambling around, no timeouts, 4th-and-19. You're like, I was already like, I'm like waiting for the loss. Like, I'm already like, oh, they blew it. I'm sitting there as sour grapes on the couch, just waiting for the final zeros to tick, and then just go, really? We're 1-2. We just lost to the Lions. And then my mindset, the Ravens do this all the time. They win the big game. Like, how many times did they beat the Steelers and the Patriots and all those big teams back then? Then you're like, oh, here they come out and they're going to lay an egg. This reminded me of how the Ravens did in the Flacco, where they win that big game. And then what I remember is they lost to like Blaine Gabbert and the Jaguars on Monday Night Football, and they like totally fell flat on their face. And you're like, why did they do that? So this reminded me of another, like, I know we didn't even talk about letdown game, but it was like, it slipped my mind because we were so high on the Chiefs and was like, okay, this team, they just beat probably the best team now. And it's like, they can do whatever. And it didn't even cross my mind it could be a trap game. And it was like, they're really going to do this. They're really going to lay an egg at 1 o'clock on a Sunday in Detroit. And this should have been a winnable game, and this might cost them a playoff spot. I'm already thinking of like all these negative things. And then the problem happens. 4th-and-19 conversion to Sammy Watkins. A few seconds left. Tucker lines up for 66 yards, and you're got to thinking, like, here we go again. And we just talked about this, right? I was there 8 years ago on Monday Night Football when he made a 61-yarder. Obviously, then it's been beat. Matt Prater has, I think the record was like 62 or 63. He lines up for 66 yards. He boots it, and hits a crossbar, and I thought he missed it. And I'm like, oh, no, don't tell me that we're going to be that short of missing, like, winning the game. And then, like, it goes through, and then, like, bro, I after I've done my reaction, I certainly want to hear yours, but, like, my mentality, and I'm not comparing it to this game, but the feeling I'm comparing it to is, as funny as it sounds, rolling into later on when we break down the Broncos matchup, who we play this Sunday in Denver, it felt like the Maha Miracle game for me, because you know why? Because I was already expecting the loss. They had no timeouts, less than a minute. You're thinking like, great. I mean, look, and look where they were. 4th-and-19 on their own, like 15-yard line. And you're already mad because receivers can't catch the ball. Lamar got sacked. you lost a timeout. It could have been over a minute left on the clock. Instead, no, because you went. So I'm thinking of like all these things. I'm like, great. Now we got to talk about on the call and like really be pissed off and sour grapes and and I'm already thinking of all these things. And like, and when it hits a crossbar and you hear Gumbel go, and it's good. And me and my dad like raising our hands. I'm like, he did it. And I was like, I froze. And I'm like, no, he did not. I'm like, and then I go off the couch in a pile of goo. I lay on the ground and I'm like, no, he did not just make a 66-yard field goal in Detroit of all places again. And then I see the team celebrating and we're like, oh my God, he actually did make it. Like I actually came to and was like, you got to be kidding me. And then I'm just sitting there in awe. And like minutes after the game, I look at my dad. I'm like, I can't believe we just watched that. Did that actually just happen? Like he did that. And I'm like, NFL record. And I'm like, oh my God, like culminating this 3-game stretch. I don't know if it can be beat with the high drama. I mean, these NFL games have been good. I mean, not to take anything from the Ravens game, but we already had another doozy on Sunday Night Football, Niners, Packers. But I'm telling you what, man, just looking at the Ravens games, I don't know if there's been an incredible 3-game stretch or any stretch of games in Ravens history that were other apart from like the one games, like obviously the 4th and 29 play in the Mahi Miracle, but this has been 3 consecutive weeks of like, I just broke it down for you from beginning to end, roller coaster rides. Like, are they going to win? Are they going to lose? Oh, they're going to lose. Oh, wait, they pulled it out. Like the Ravens won a 2nd straight game on ridiculousness. And I, dude, put Justin Tucker in the Hall of Fame right now. That's all I got to say about it.
It's already in the Hall of Fame. They already posted that out there. They've got his cleats, you know, his jersey, course. His pants, everything's already in the Hall of Fame, because how do you not have that piece of history in there? But so I'll tell you what I was doing this weekend. I was in Ocean City, first time since May, at my place, and decided we were gonna stay until Monday morning. You know, I worked all day Monday, got home around 8:30, left the beach at 5 o'clock in the morning, drove home because I wanted to be in Ocean City to watch this game. And we got a dozen crabs because there is a shortage right now. So I couldn't do all you can eat crabs because crabs are very expensive here in Maryland.
It limited
right now.
You to a dozen. Wow.
Yeah, it was normally like I'll do the all you can eats, and it's like
how many crabs can you eat?
Oh,
what's your record? What's your record? Speaking of records, what's your record? What's your personal record on crabs?
I want to say
mine's 14.
I want to say
14. I've done over a little over a dozen just by myself in one setting, picking them apart and eating them. 14 crabs, which is a lot.
I want to say 18 or 20 is my max that I've had. So
18 or 20. Okay, yeah. Are they mediums, small schools? Like, what are we doing here?
Usually I will go for the smalls because they're usually more meatier. They're more packed. So I will go with
so
the smalls.
Smaller is better. He, 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 he.
Yeah.
Crab world, maybe. Yeah.
In crab world. Yeah.
There you go.
But,
enough
yeah,
of the jokes.
We did one dozen crabs, and that was like, was it $109, something like that. It was crazy. I mean, that's the prices are never like this, but you know, pandemic pricing is what we're doing, but so we were eating crabs, having some beer, watching the game outside. They had a TV set up at the crab bag outside. There was a fire pit right underneath the TV. I mean, awesome setup. Really, like, this is my place to go if you're ever in Ocean City and you're like the off season, the Ravens are playing. Go to the crab bag, watch it there. But we were outside, and I think I learned my mistake from that Monday night game at the stadium where I didn't realize I left early. I thought I left at the end of the game, and it wasn't the end of the game. When Detroit went ahead and there was like a minute 40 left in the game, I went, oh, they gave us too much time left. We got this. And there's like people next to me at the table, people I don't know, going like, oh my God, oh my God, I can't believe we're losing this game. I can't believe we're losing this game. And I'm just like, it's like a minute 30 left. We got this. We're fine.
So you were Mr. Joe Cool here.
Yeah, and I think it was because I knew we had Justin Tucker there. I'm like, Lamar doesn't have to get down to the end zone. Lamar's got to get a field goal. He's got to get in the field goal range. So we're fine. So,
and we've seen this before, right? Like Monday Night Football last year, the Browns. Like, you know, the whole Hollywood Brown, oh, they go ahead, and then the Browns come back and match it, and then all Lamar's got to do is just go dink, dink, dink right down the field. So you, I guess, and you're right. You have Tucker. What are you worried about?
Yeah, so, I mean, the 4th and 19 happens. That's great. I got worried because Sammy Watkins didn't go out of bounds. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Like, you got to stop the clock. Like, that's the only time I really got nervous. But when Tucker, when they said it was 66 yards, like, I'm like, oh, we're fine. We're good. And to see that, I mean, the place I was in, the crab bag, went ballistic. People were jumping up and down, like throwing crab
claws. Did you get a reaction?
I didn't get any video of it. I mean, I was just I was in the moment, but it was a blast to see. It was amazing to see. I mean, it was history. It's and here's the thing. I don't want to get ahead in the show here. We are on our way to Denver. We just came from Detroit. It's above sea level. The air is thinner there. Could Justin Tucker potentially go 68 yards in Denver?
I don't know if he can be topped.
He can go 66 indoors in Detroit. No help of wind whatsoever. I mean, that's honestly like that's it. Justin Tucker is the greatest to ever do this. Could he do it? Right now, I'm saying absolutely 100% he could do it. Will he? I don't know. But like if we're in a bind and there's 3 seconds left and we need 3 points and we're at, you know, the 68-70, you know, that's how much we need. I bet Harbaugh would pull the trigger and go for it.
Well, listen to this interesting statistic. Justin Tucker.
Good word, by the way, because I can't say that word.
What? Now I can't even say it. Thank you. And now you got me. I hate saying the word. Stats. Let's go to the stat sheet, shall we? That's why they say stats. All right. You want to know how awesome Justin Tucker really is?
Let's hear it.
There have been 7 go-ahead field goals of 60-plus yards in the final minute of any NFL game. And this is per Elias Sports, speaking of stats. 2 of them were by Justin Tucker himself in Detroit, no less. I was there for one of them, 61. He is the only kicker with more than one. I mean, if you don't solidify your GOAT Hall of Fame status, I mean, and I know he missed one on Sunday, right? But he is the most accurate kicker in NFL history. I think, right? I mean, before the miss, I think he was at what, like 91 plus, maybe 92%, somewhere right in that range of accuracy. Like that's his accuracy. He still made 4 or 5. So that's 80%. So it might drop a little bit, but for him to do that in Detroit 8 years later, where on a game to where I was at the last time, we just talked about this and the score was just about as similar. And you're talking in the same place. And I would love to know, looking at the angle, I can't remember my angle on it, but like, I can't even remember if it was the same end of the stadium. I want to say it was the opposite, but either way, that would have been pretty crazy if it was the same exact end zone. But my memory, I think he kicking it the other way. But anyway, just to do it to that same team in the same city 8 years later for their actual record, who would have scripted that? Like, you can instantly make that into a movie. Like, yeah, I just kicked this 61-yarder 8 years ago, and then here he goes 5 yards more for an NFL record. I'm like, are you kidding me? And we're getting blessed, and I did post on the call, one of my good friends who owns Lupton Sports, he's bringing the GOAT to Harford County, Maryland. He's doing an autograph signing on Monday, October 18th. So you're going to get to see Mr. 66 up close and personal. I would love to go to that one and get a picture of that field goal signed and framed up because, hey, that's an NFL record that probably definitely solidified his Hall of Fame status. And kickers do make it few and far between. There are a few in the Hall of Fame, but after you just break down all the accolades, like I just told you, he has 2 of those 60-yarders in the final. I mean, improbable. I mean, and it's been replayed countless times, even like the – you know, the NFL media, man, it was like, really? Like, how does that happen? But you know what's lost in all this? And there are some negatives to take away. Just because they won the game doesn't mean everything was all roses, right? But what's lost in all this is Lamar Jackson threw an absolute dime of 36 yards to a Sammy Watkins, a newest addition on this team, to convert a 4th and 19 deep in their own end with no timeouts, and they had to get up and spike the ball. I mean, that's what's kind of crazy in all this. Like, yeah, Justin Tucker is the man. He's the GOAT. And obviously, his foot and his leg kicked that game winner through. But, and as you've seen at the post game, Harbaugh gave game balls to the snapper. And then obviously, Sam Cook, the holder, the special teams trio there, the new Wolfpack, obviously, Morgan Cox is no longer a long snapper, but you know, that's what's crazy about all this is it was a credible play to set it all up. And again, with this team, man, it's like they don't quit no matter how many touchdown drops there were in the game, no matter how many missed tackles there were, and we'll address that as well, no matter how many missed timeout blunders there were in the game. This is 2 weeks in a row that they fought. And even in the Monday night loss where it just came out of reach, they still scrapped and clawed because they got the interception to stop them after the callback touchdown in overtime against the Raiders. So they're pretty much one or two plays away from being undefeated at this point because you figured, yeah, what if the defense stops the Raiders on that final drive with 30-something seconds left? Don't let them go down the field. That's a win. Even in overtime, let's say Lamar doesn't fumble it, you know, even if he doesn't fumble it once or twice, because both fumbles led to scores, but either point, if Lamar doesn't fumble it and the Ravens do what they did this game and go down the field and, you know, kick a Justin Tucker game winner. And I mean, you never know, but like I said, there are a few plays away from being undefeated, which you can look at the glass half full, or you can look at it this way. They didn't force a fumble. They're probably 1-2, or if they make the plays in Detroit, they could be easily 0-3. I mean, any team can say that, like, you know, come on now. But the fact that remains is we've had three incredible roller coaster games, all three games within one score. I mean, 1 point the last couple, you know, 1 or 2 points the last couple games. I mean, obviously they lost by 6 on Monday Football to a closing touchdown. Yeah, it's been a dramatic theater. It's kind of like what else is going to happen? I mean, but huge, huge win. I mean, you know, again, the heartbreak, you know, for the Lions, obviously staying winless at 0-3, but like other, you know, you, I mean, now you can't really say this nowadays now because the Browns are obviously up and coming and they're tied up there with us and the Bengals in the AFC North standings. And we'll break that down later on, but on the landscape of the division after 3 weeks, but usually that's the kind of things that you say, that's the Brown thing to do, or that's so Brown, right? To me, that's just, I'm sorry, but it's the epitome of the Lions. Sorry, not sorry, but that's just, that's such a Detroit way to lose. Like, I mean, they've been 0-16 along with the Browns. If you look at the sorry franchise in the NFL, the Browns, you know, not as of late, but in historically it's been the Browns. I mean, let's get real. I mean, one good season doesn't undo all the bad past, right? I mean, you know, fortunately, we are O's fans. You know, God bless them. They fight. But, you know, we know what it's like around here. But anyway, you know, you look at the Jets now. You look at the line. You look at these franchises, and you're like, that. You just know that they're going to lose a certain way. Or that if that happens to that team, it's like, well, that's just typical, right? So, unfortunately, it's just that's the way it crumbles, right? But what an incredible, incredible win to ride high on that. And to be a part of, and for the folks that actually knew that went out to the game, wow, to be a part of that and how I was sharing my story 8 years ago of, like, you know, kicking a 61 yarder and get to see that and live. And then, like, obviously he came back and I showed him the ticket when he did autograph signing and he signed the actual picture of him kicking it through. So that was awesome. I have that in the bank here at the house. And, but the other side, obviously we need to talk about is, there are things in wins and losses that you still need to improve on. No matter if you're unblemished at 3-0, 2-1, 1-2, 0-3 at this point, you know, no matter what your record is, always got to work on something, right? And there was a lot of plays left on the field. There was a lot of missed opportunities, man. Running down the gambit, and we can certainly break it down, but missed tackles galore. I mean, Away had two good starting games, and then he took a bad angle on a few on DeAndre Swift and missed a good couple tackles there to let him go, and DeAndre Swift was not contained. But you know what, through it all, I forgot about, Brandon, is the Ravens were without pretty much half their starting, like, defensive line and linebacking core because of COVID protocol. So I'm like, I forgot that they didn't have Madubuike. I forgot they didn't have Ferguson. I forgot that Brandon Williams wasn't playing. Through all that mess, I actually forgot about that. So to pull out a win with those guys being out, that was incredible. It was like a day or two later, and I was like, oh crap, they were out. Yeah, that's right. Like, because it was concerning to me because DeAndre Swift, the offense was moving the ball. He was balling out. And I'm like, you got to stop him. The screen passes were killing us. He was getting large chunks at a time. And then, as we know, the drop pass to Marquise Brown, man, got a feel for the kid. I mean, it's just, you know, it can't happen. We all have bad days, bro. But dude, to drop those two passes, Lamar and the Ravens offense, this could have been a blowout. He catches both of those. They're in the end zone. And this would be a point. The Ravens probably win by 15, 20 points in a trouncing, and no fans or butts, man. They move on. And speaking of the missed tackles, Harbaugh did go on record in saying that the team was had a meeting first thing Monday morning when they got back about the missed tackles. So hopefully that is being addressed. But Marquise, bro, you got to hold on, get that. I mean, the ball was placed right there. It wasn't even Lamar's fault at that point. I mean, it was an absolute dime right there in your hands, and you got to catch it. I mean, as sure-handed as he's been over the last year, obviously he's got the game winner last year or it would have been eventual game winner, but it put him ahead at that point, the improbable fourth down touchdown in Cleveland, and then obviously he caught a touchdown against the Chiefs and all that. So, I mean, he's coming on, but you got to catch the ball, bro. But all in all, I thought the running game lacked. I mean, they still, as a team, collectively did over 100 yards on the ground, but I felt like it was real tough yards. They couldn't get rhythm running the ball. This was basically, it was an aerial assault, call it what it is. I mean, obviously they had, the balance there, more passing than running, bro. But, there were a lot of opportunities that left me with, like, this team should have not hung around, and the Ravens certainly put the game away. Missed touchdowns or not, again, no matter what, you can't trade field goals and touchdowns. They scored one touchdown on the day, and that was it. And you just can't do that. You got to get better. You got to get more sharp.
Yeah, that was the big negative I want to say is Hollywood Brown on this game. He did not have a good day. He did not look good. At this point in his career, he should not be making those kind of mistakes. I mean, off the fingertips multiple times. I mean, Rashad Bateman, can't come back quick enough. He's activated.
He's in practice this week.
He's practicing. Good. He got activated on Wednesday. Yep, Miles Boykin back as well. I doubt that either of those guys play on Sunday. I could be 100% wrong on that, but I figure they're going to ease them into the game. I mean, coming back on a Wednesday, expected to play on a Sunday, that's going to be a bit rough. But Hollywood Brown, he's not making a great argument for him to stay a Raven long term. I mean, he had a really rough freshman year after he got drafted. He missed a bunch of time. He was constantly out of the lineup. This year, he's looked good, but he missed training camp. He missed most of the practices. I don't know. This was not a good game for him. Hopefully, he can come back in Denver and really show everybody what he can do. I mean, he's got little pieces of brilliance, but he feels like he can never put the full game together.
Like kind of like a Kyle Bowler syndrome kind of deal.
Yeah.
Like we know it's there somewhere, but it's not quite there yet.
Right.
We always allude to that in Ravens folklore when a player has potential, but never, it's like the Breshad Perrymans of the world and Kyle Bowlers. Cause it's like, we've seen your brilliance, but it's like one game out of 10.
Right.
And then it disappears. And then you're like, well, like it always brings you back to the Kyle Bowler Monday night game against the Packers. Like he had his like career game that game and the Ravens won big. And you're like, where was that his whole career here? But then it would happen like literally once a year. You had right. That one game where you're like, Kyle Bowler's brilliant. And then like this 15 other games, you're like, man, he's just flat. So, but you're right. But now what do you do with that? Like, obviously I feel like you got to keep sending Marquise out there. You can't bench a player of his caliber. Can you? I don't think you can, but I feel like with the return of our first round draft pick this year, Rashad Bateman, the return of Miles Boykin, hopefully Mark Andrews did get more involved in the passing game. Still that elusive touchdown is awaiting him. Maybe the wide receiver core room being a little bit more full now. And the fact that Sammy Watkins has had, coming on as of late, had a few impactful long pass plays, obviously the setting up the game winner on the 4th and 19 play. So he'll always be forever connected to that. Marquise, he kind of needs to really look in his rearview mirror because I don't really think, you see a lot on the teams, like, who wide receiver one is. Like, in the Cardinals, it's DeAndre Hopkins. On the Titans, it's A.J. Brown. Right now in the Bengals, it's Jamar Chase, the rookies emerging. You know who those wide receiver one guys are. But the Ravens, it pretty much is tight end number one slash wide receiver number one is Mark Andrews. And we know that Lamar and him have had a special connection with a lot of touchdowns connected over the last few seasons, but receivers has got to get better. And I always pose the question to this because it, in my lifetime, obviously, I'm not saying it's never happened for the Orioles. The Orioles have won three World Series titles, but I've always said in my lifetime, which is going to happen first, a World Series title by the older Orioles or the Ravens actually drafting a viable number one receiver that pans out for like years? Like, because right. I feel like both of those things, I feel like are so far off because it's like, will it ever happen? And then you're like, oh, this is the year. It's like, you know, they drafted Mark Clayton years ago. Oh, hey, he's a playmaker out of Oklahoma. Nope. And it's like, oh, they drafted Rashad Perryman, in the first round. He might be it. Nope. Bust. And then, okay, this is it. We finally got Bateman. Hopefully this is it. Like, and obviously he had a strong, strong camp until the injury. So I was really excited to see what he can do. And I'm hoping for that resurgence and working him as slow. It's not going to make an impact right away, but to get him back this early now, we heard it might have been around that month, the 3 to 5 week plan. This is week four of the NFL season coming upon us here. So he is back in practice, running routes, catching passes. So will he make the trip to Denver? We do not know at this point, but it is a good sign for him to return to the Ravens, of course, especially after the game that Marquise had. So hopefully we can have some brighter days ahead with some plays being made in the passing game. But I don't know with the ebbs and flow of the game or what happened there, but I feel like Greg Roman in the running game's got to stick to that one guy, right? Like if it's Williams, keep giving the rock and give it to him. If it's, Murray, keep giving him the rock. But I feel like when you're changing the pace, you're not allowing these players to get in the rhythm that they seek. And I get it. You want it fresh bodies in there or whatnot, but who knows? But I know I saw a Le'Veon Bell tweet this week. He's chomping at the bit and he put a GIF in there, kind of like, I guess that anticipation one, getting ready to, he's licking his chops. So I think, he's about maybe a week or two, maybe of getting caught up and making an impact for the Ravens and seeing what he's got. But, all in all, I mean, again, we understand it's a win. I'm not saying like, oh, they'd rather the Ravens lose because they deserved it. But, good for them. They squeaked it out. But, again, this could have easily went the other way. And we'd be talking doom and gloom, road loss, and that's the second road loss in a row, this year. And we could have been really, really hurting with the landscape of the division that lost. So to me, I mean, I know the Chiefs win was very, very important, especially the ramifications of that. But it just seems like, hey, again, at the end of the day, no matter how you win, just like Dominic Toretto, right, in the original Fast and Furious, winning's winning. Remember Paul Walker's like, here at the rest in peace, my friend. Dude almost had you. Doesn't matter, man. If I got you by the length of my hood, or I got you by my, like he said, winning's winning. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, you can sit there and say, okay, but what if Marquise would have caught it? Right. Or what if we didn't make tackles? But you know what? At the end of the day, it took a 66-yard crazy field goal to hit the crossbar and go in. But at the end of the day, it's a win on the Ravens board. They have two wins and one loss in the season after 3 weeks. Obviously 3 weeks young, you can only do no better than 3-0. So they're one game off that pace. I feel like they're going to be okay, but hey, if you can win kind of like that with the game in the balance and all these things going wrong, hey, what happens if they can get it together? So it's kind of like, I'll take those ugly, ugly, crazy wins. Then you always heard it from Trent Dilfer back in the day, right? We're going to write a book about how to win ugly in the NFL because the Ravens MO was always that in their history. They always won ugly, no matter what. And you heard it after the Chiefs win, right? Remember Harbaugh? It's never pretty. But it's us. It's the Ravens way, man. I don't care how, because again, like with the playoff run in 2012, like are you breaking down the Maha Miracle game, even though we know it took a probable play like that to force double overtime, because it went two overtimes. But it's like, are you stuck on like what it could have went wrong and be like, oh, but what if they'd have covered Trenton Holiday on two kickoff returns? Well, woulda, shoulda, coulda. That you can sit there and say it at the end of the day, but at the end of the day, they won a divisional playoff game that year, and we know they won the Super Bowl. All I remember in the Super Bowl is we know that they lost a big lead and the lights went out, but it's like we know they had to barely hang on the win, but it took a fourth goal line stand. I'm not going to the negatives and saying, but the Ravens lost a big lead and they almost let the Niners score. No. Well, all we remember is they freaking won the game and the confetti fell and the Ravens got their second title. Don't care how they win. To me, wins. you know, don't care how many yards are thrown, how many yards are rushed for. At the end of the day, if the Ravens have more points on the scoreboard than the other team after it hits fourth quarter or overtime, that is all that matters in the NFL. That qualifies you for division wins or division title, maybe in playoff seeding. That all counts. So I feel like, again, like, I don't care if the Ravens went ugly and it was, oh, but they could have lost. Yeah, they could have lost, but a lot of teams could have won. You know, you can slice and dice in any way, but at the end of the day, I mean, I know I'm not a paid player on the team, but I'm not apologizing for the way that my team wins. When I root for them, yeah, we might predict the loss on the show, or as fans, we might say on social media, like, I don't think the Ravens have a chance today. But yeah, in all our heart of hearts, we just want the Ravens to win every game, right? We always root for them to win. You know, there's games that we just, it's just the way NFL is. You can't win them all, but you know, it's awesome to root for them in that regard, but there's always something to improve on, but it's few and far between, and they got a daunting test here, man, because the Broncos are undefeated on this young season at 3-0. And again, looking at them, I'm not looking at quality wins like, okay, well, they beat the Jets. Okay, big deal. Like, they beat the Jets 26-0. You know, or does that mean you're going to break down every dominating win the Ravens have had in their history? Like, okay, well, they have three or four shutouts 1 year. Are you saying, okay, then discount those wins because they were against crappy teams? No. You can't apologize for your opponent is that weekend. You can't apologize. They're all NFL teams. I mean, the Jacksonville Jaguars were up 9 points at one point on the Cardinals, and the Cardinals are undefeated, and the Jaguars are winless. So, I mean, you know, you really have to look at it. So, but Denver, in Denver, second road game in a row going out west. Obviously, on the East Coast, we know it's a 4:30 game because of that. It's going to be a daunting task, Mile High or not. You know, Denver's got some playmakers, man, and they're going to be ready to play. And it's going to be a great game early in the AFC playoff race too, because this could be impacts, because we know the AFC West is shooken up so big right now, with the Raiders and the Broncos both tied at 3-0 in the top of the division. It's huge. And if the Ravens can put another, and I feel like this would be a quality win. I don't care if it's the Broncos or not. You know, the Broncos are surprising with 3-0 record on their young season. They got Teddy Bridgewater, you know, leading the charge there at quarterback. I feel like if the Ravens can get the Broncos, and the Ravens would be 3-1, and the Broncos would be 3-1, that would be another huge win, just as huge as the Lions win was, and just as huge as the win it was against the Chiefs, because you just beat an undefeated team. It's a good test early. Denver's got a defense. They got some playmakers offense. It's a road game. It could be a second road game in a row before the Ravens get a breath of fresh air and come home for virtually over a month. Because after the Denver road trip, they're not on the road till, I think, November. So I think the whole month of October, with a bye week included, they are home for four straight home games. You know, so count thy blessings, because we're going to get to see a lot of Ravens football in Baltimore over the next month. But till that, got to get through this road test, another road test in Denver. But it's going to be hard, man. You know, they got some playmakers. You know, Tim Patrick, offense. They got, you know, I'm looking at Jerry Jeudy status for Sunday. Cortland Sutton. They got the rookie Javonte Williams. They got Melvin Gordon running the ball. They got some playmakers, and Teddy Bridgewater has surprised this year. Denver is going to be a handful, and they got Von Miller still leading the charge on their defense. I know they're down Bradley Chubb, but, bro, man, it's still the Broncos, and it's going to be a tough task, man.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, if you remember during our show for the schedule release, I mean, this, our first reactions, I mean, we were excited about these games, but man, this is a rough schedule for the Ravens. These teams that they're facing, they've all got talent. We've seen that now in the first 3 weeks, just how talented these teams are. Denver is going to be no exception. They're undefeated right now. Undefeated 3-0. Yeah, they beat the Jets or some other teams that aren't the greatest. However, a win is a win, like you said. So this is going to be difficult, and I think it's going to come down to whose defense is going to be better, because Teddy Bridgewater, Lamar Jackson, they both come from the same college. They both played at the same college. They're both extremely talented quarterbacks, and who's going to be given the most time, and who's going to be given time to let to plays develop. Luckily, the Ravens have been able to activate three of their defensive players off the COVID-19 list. Brandon Williams, Justin Madubuike, and Justin Houston all missed that game in Detroit, and they will be there in Denver, thankfully. So those guys came back, and for the Ravens defense to be able to come away with a win in Detroit, missing those three guys is really saying something. So hopefully we can see that. Like, we do have to see Owe do a little bit better than he did in Detroit. Chuck Clark has looked fantastic. We want to see more out of Chuck Clark as well. But I really think it's going to be what defense is going to get to that quarterback quicker. So that's what we really need to see. We need to see the Ravens defense really come out on this one. Denver is not going to just roll over. This is not going to be an easy game. But if we can get to Teddy Bridgewater, make his life a little uncomfortable, and get to him, you know, get those sacks, because he really hasn't been touched that much this year. But we've seen what he can do up against a team like the Jets. You know, he really was able to come away with a big win over them. I think the Ravens we'll have another tough one. I think it's going to be a very high-scoring game, but it's not going to be like, oh, the Ravens beat themselves. It's going to be the defense is the one that won this game. Lamar's going to have his arm ready for him as well. I think that the Denver defense is going to give Lamar fits. I don't think he's going to be able to run as much as we would like, and we know that the running backs are good, but they are not Dobbins like we would hope. So I think
they're still formidable though, man. I mean, yeah, absolutely. Williams, he's dangerous as well, especially because he's a rookie, number one, but two, you know, he's explosive. He's providing that another kind of that lightning and thunder approach with he's the lightning to Melvin Gordon's thunder. Melvin Gordon, still a punishing runner. Especially it's concerning how DeAndre Swift went up and down the field against the Ravens. But again, you have to remember, as we alluded to earlier, they were without pretty much a good handful of defensive starters, you know, not due to injury, but now they're back. I think the only one that's still missing is Ferguson, but we got everybody back. So you figured the defensive line should be bolstered enough to combat that run defense. Let's hope to see your boy Wolf play this time. I don't know.
I don't think he's playing. I think he's already ruled out.
And you're already just writing him off. Hear that, Derek? Brandon is writing you off.
Yeah, but, prove me wrong. Yeah, prove me wrong.
It's still early for the injury report, but as we know, let's see, as far as the receivers, and as we alluded to, Bateman and Boykin back practicing for the Ravens, and still way too early. Again, we're recording this earlier in the week, releasing the show every Purple Friday during the season, and obviously we have that one wrinkle on a Thursday night game, so make do, but that's later in the year. We don't have to worry about that for a while, but in Miami, nonetheless. But but in retrospect, you're right. It's going to be a tough challenge. You know what? This is a tough challenge. And the way I look at this game, I'm going to flip-flop on this one. After the Ravens win, obviously, you're like, okay, well, they're two-game winning streak. Can be stopped? Look, the Broncos are undefeated for a reason. It's going to be a tall task. And I don't know if the Ravens are up to it. I think it's going to be a closer game. It's going to be another one-score game. I don't think it's going to blow up by either side. But I think, you know, there's going to be enough plays made by Teddy Bridgewater in the Broncos offense to keep the Ravens at bay. And I feel like Ravens are going to just come up short here and be 500. You know, it's going to be a tough road test to knock an undefeated team off of their turf. I know they're just coming off a shutout win against the Jets. Again, no matter how bad a team is, come on, because the Ravens have had some pretty good shutouts in their history. You can't really balk at the fact that, okay, what was the Jets? Well, they still shut an NFL team out. These guys still get paid, and you hear it from players all the time. You know, yeah, it could be an easy win or whatnot, but it's like, still, you know, we know what the Jets provide after 3 weeks with Zach Wilson, and, you know, they're not on our schedule. But the fact remains is, you know, it's still a quality win for them, and they still had to go out and perform, and they shut out. So especially that's where it's kind of crazy, because not only did they shut out a team, we know how bad the Jets are, but that's where the Ravens offense has, you know what, hey, they're just coming off a performance of a shutout at home, and we got to go in there and knock off an undefeated team. Like you alluded to, it's going to be a tall task. I think the Ravens just fall short in a loss here. I think it's 27-24 Broncos. Again, as always, root on my Ravens, hope I'm wrong. But I just think, you know, there's enough plays made on the Broncos side to keep them undefeated at 4-0 and keep things interesting in the AFC West. It's going to be tough.
This is definitely going to be a tough one. I think the Ravens can squeak away with a win. I think they can give Denver their first loss.
We butt heads, finally.
Yeah. But, I mean, it honestly, I'm right there with you. I think it can go either way, and I think it's going to be another really tight game. And it's going to be
one on Tucker's leg again? Or is it Lamar making a play? Or is it receiver stepping up? What do you think?
I think Lamar is going to be airing out that arm a little bit, and this is what I want to see. I think Hollywood Brown hopefully will be motivated after that Detroit game and how bad that performance was, and I want to see him come out. I want to see him have a game. I want to see him really show the world what he can do. So I'm expecting
100 and a touch from Hollywood.
That's exactly what I'm saying. So
how many catches? Put you on the spot, bro. Got a ball out.
I can see Hollywood Brown coming away with, I can see him coming away with two touchdowns, in this game.
Ooh, after dropping two, and he's going to get two.
I think he's going to get two.
Tall order. Okay.
I think this game is going to be 34-31 Ravens. I think it's going to be very high scoring, but I think it's going to be one of those games where you're like, oh my God, we just scored, it's over, and then it's going to be like, oh, they just scored. Oh my God, we just scored. All right, we're ahead.
It's going to be one of those games back and forth, or who has the ball last probably solidifies the game. Okay.
I think it's going to be like that the entire game. Like, I'm expecting Lamar to really throw this game. I'm really expecting his arm to show up. I think that they know that they have to limit him on the ground. So I think that Lamar is preparing himself and that he's going to be out there and he's going to be throwing that game. Now, I don't think we see Rashad Bateman, but if we do, I think that they don't bring him in like as much as he normally would have been in if he started the season healthy. I think he's in maybe one or two plays, if that. But I don't
bringing
see
him
playing.
On slow. I like it. Slow roll. Yeah, don't throw him right out there to the wolves just yet. I like that. Bring him on slow, especially coming back from the injury. Being a rookie, you know, he hasn't had his first taste of an NFL game action yet. Obviously got hurt in camp, didn't play in the preseason. So I like that. You know, slow roll it. Let's bring him on. And then, hey, debut him at the home crowd, right? Got four straight home games coming up in a month. So that'd be great if we can debut him on Monday Night Football and him to make an impact against the Colts in 2 weeks. So we'll see how that plays out. But you got to get through the Denver Broncos first, right, to get to that home stretch here in October. So it's going to be fun. Really wanted to break down, get away from Ravens a little bit, the landscape of some of what's going on in the NFL over 3 weeks, bro. So, as we know, the Bengals took it to the Steelers on Sunday. Steelers look absolutely awful. Big Ben looks old and slow and broken. There was a play where apparently, like, he threw the ball and, like, fell on his own, which is comical. It's out there. The headline on that was Big Ben moves as good as a tree. Yeah. And he literally just, like, falls over out of nowhere. 24-10, the Bengals, Jamar Chase, bro, he's going to be a problem. We had to deal with A.J. Green through these last – good bulk of these years, and now we got to deal with Jamar Chase twice a year with Joe Burrow. This is going to be a tumultuous task, and as we know, we have some bouts with the division later this year. They're all backloaded, so we'll get blessed with that. But the landscape of the AFC North, the Steelers lost to the Bengals. Bengals, Browns, and Ravens are all 2-1. The Browns dealt with some feistiness from the Houston Texans, but were able to pull away with a 10-point win there. So obviously, as it stands, Browns lost week one just like the Ravens. The Browns and the Ravens have a two-game winning streak. The Steelers are a two-game losing streak. They beat the Bills somehow in week one, and they've looked just like a last-place team as they are, and I predicted that. My prediction still stands as Browns division winner, Ravens wild card, Bengals 3. Steelers will be dead last and fourth. Not only that, but how about the landscape for going from the AFC North to AFC West? How about the Chiefs losing two in a row? That never happened. We basically made Superman bleed, pretty much, the kryptonite. Yeah.
Mahomes is human.
And Mahomes is human again. He throws another critical interception late in the game with the game tied, and the Chargers end up going up 30-24, missed the extra point, but it still would prove to be the game winner. Chargers, big win on the road against the Chiefs in Arrowhead, division win. The Chiefs are 1-2. They're two games behind. They're 1-2, and the Broncos and the Raiders are 3-0. How about that? So not only that, but like I said, it's a big impactful game for the Ravens because not to say obviously you want the Broncos to win to create space and you don't want them to beat the Ravens because of that, but it's like the Ravens can really do that. You know, obviously it makes a dent in their division, so it all plays out, but it'll be a great AFC win. It would be a second win against that same division, and they'll be 2-1 after three games. So it's crazy looking at the AFC West games. They get the Chargers in mid-October in this home stretch. It's the second game of that home stretch after the Monday night game. But four weeks into the season, and they have three out of the four AFC West teams to be played. So it'd be great. The Ravens can really make a 2-1 mark in that division early. But, dude, the AFC West has certainly changed and all that. And then, obviously, we know we had a crazy game on Sunday Night Football. Packers last – same thing, roller coaster ride. How about Sunday Night Football with the last 2 weeks with the Ravens and the Chiefs, the way that game went down? And then how the undefeated undefeated 2-0 Niners, they took the lead with less than a minute. Remember our boy Kyle Juszczyk crossing the goal line like they did on Christmas night? We thought it was the game winner against Pittsburgh, but it wasn't. Me and you were together for that. And Aaron Rodgers just goes a couple plays to he left too much time. He left 30-something seconds left with Aaron Rodgers, no timeouts, a few plays to Davante Adams, and then they booted a game winner of their own. So that was a incredible game. But not only that, but how about after the Ravens play a semi-primetime game here, obviously, because they're traveling to the West Coast, it's a 4:30 start here, bro. How about the week four matchup on Sunday Night Football, Tom Brady returning to New England? Not only that, but we just saw history be made in Detroit this past week by Tucker. I mean, it's incredible to think about. Brady's 44 years old, still playing quarterback in the NFL. He's going to go to New England, which obviously, you know, that's where it's where he won all of them. He won 6 out of 7, the dynasty, going back to Cena crying, but he is less than 100 yards away from Drew Brees' all-time passing record. Him and Drew Brees stand alone over 80,000 passing yards in their career. Hard to believe, right? But Drew Brees is retired as of last year. Brady's still going, and he's like 60-something yards, 70 yards away from breaking that. So you pretty much say Brady throws 100 passing yards. He's got the record in Foxborough, no less. So the Buccaneers, defending champs, go to New England on Sunday nights. So right after the Ravens billing here, man, we're right into some good football on Sunday night, so it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I can't wait to see this Ravens-Broncos game, because I 100% do, I'm really excited to see Brady return to Foxborough, because yes, that one is going to be a barn burner. It's going to be crazy to see, and that's a good – man, that is a good day of football right there. If you're going to need me, I'm going to be on my couch.
Exactly, especially with the Ravens being at 4:30. You're that NFL enthusiast, fantasy guy, whatever. You can get blessed with some NFL Red Zone. You can watch all the 1 o'clock games and then get ready for that Ravens late billing with the late window. So it's going to be awesome. So it's going to be a fun day indeed. And I can't wait for that. Not only that for me, but I'm going to enjoy a 5-day weekend. It's my birthday weekend, brother.
There you go.
So it's going to be fun. So, hey, how about that? So let's hope the Ravens get it done for me, but it's still going to be fun to watch. And then we get blessed with that glorious Sunday night matchup. Could be another historic that, but tying everything in with the historics here to wrap things up. You know what was crazy on the same day that Tucker did what he did?
What's that?
The same guy who had the record prior to Tucker, which is Matt Prater. He is now the kicker for the Arizona Cardinals. Do you know what he did down in Jacksonville? He actually attempted the 68-yard field goal at the end of the half. Do you know what happened with that field goal? And again, tying into the Ravens-Broncos lore. Remember the infamous play, Monday Night Football, Jason Nealon wins to attempt a field goal. Chris McAllister standing under the uprights. He catches the missed field goal and returns it, and that's when Ray Lewis clocked that defensive player into, like, next, like, two decades back, pretty much. You never see that hit again in the NFL. Remember that? That crazy?
Yeah.
It was like the – so on a day where Tucker actually got the record – a kicker who previously had the record tried to get 2 yards better than him. A 68-yard field goal attempt at the end of the half by the Cardinals. A defender of the Jaguars was standing under the uprights, caught the ball. Agnew is his name. He returned it 109 yards for the score, an NFL record play. So in 2 hours prior to Tucker actually historically kicking his through the upright or hitting the crossbar and going through, you had a would have been beating his own record for 68-yard field goal turned into the longest play in NFL history. He can't make this stuff up, dude. Like, it's crazy. And now just think about this. What if that actually happened? And even though Tucker's eventually game winner would have went through, what if that wouldn't have been enough for an NFL record? Like, what if Prater actually beat his own record, hit a 68-yarder at halftime, and then Tucker actually kicks his through 66 yards and it wouldn't have been a record, and the record was actually made 2 hours prior? Like, imagine that headline. Like, you can't even make this stuff up. And it was the same kicker, Matt Prater, who had the record. Like, I'm like, what is this thing? Like, it's just, I'm saying, like, these things happen for a reason. It's like crazy. But again, and they broke it down. The NFL was crazy. Like, you had the longest play in NFL history and the longest field goal in NFL history in the same day. It was ridiculous. So, yeah. And you have another NFL record with Sunday Night Football with Tom Brady and his passing yards coming up. So, against his former team, nonetheless, in Foxborough. So, dude, records galore. Football's fun. Holy crap. What's next?
It is a good time.
I don't know if I can take anymore.
Good time to be a Ravens fan. Good time to be a football fan.
I mean, of all the ways the Ravens have won and all these NFL teams have won, like, you've seen Aaron Rodgers throw Hail Marys in our lifetime. You've seen Mahi Miracle plays for the Ravens. You've seen last-minute field goals. We had the crazy game, as we talked about it last year, the Lamar getting some sickness and then coming back and then throwing a touchdown out of nowhere, like Houdini. It's like, of all these Ravens games, like the Joe Flacco, the snow game in Vikings against the Vikings here, when that was like all those touchdowns scored in the last final minutes and we were there for that mess. So I'm like, just thinking about all these crazy wins and it's like, what else can happen? Like, you're like, what? Can the Ravens have, like, their own Music City Miracle and kind of, like, lateral the ball 15 times to win a game? Like, I don't think that's happened yet, but I'm sure it's coming. So I don't want to get to that point, but I feel like we've covered everything but the call in the last decade, that I think the Ravens have found a way to lose every game and win every game imaginable. And then just when you think they haven't, Tucker hits an NFL record on the crossbar and it goes through. It's just, like, ridiculous. And by the way, shout out again to the Ravens production team. They did another montage like they did with the reactions with the Chiefs win of all the Ravens fans celebrating with the Tucker. My dad even watched me. He said, that kind of stuff gives you goosebumps, man. Just everybody like going crazy. And I was such in shock. It was like, you would think like, it was almost like when I hit my hole in last year when I played golf, right? It was like, you would think I'd be like running around screaming my hair on fire. Like, it was like, it was such in shock that it was like, that didn't happen. It was like me and my dad were screaming, yelling, but you wouldn't think it was a reaction like it was. Like, you would think like I'd be running around the basement where I was at my dad's house, and I'm like, oh my god, I get it, and like going crazy. Like, I was kind of like, nah, he didn't do that. Like, it was almost like I was in denial. Like, I told you. Like, and then it was like, holy crap, that actually happened. And I'm giving my dad high fives. Like, it was like, it was such a delayed reaction because I'm like, because again, I told you, you know, kind of wrapping things up. I was setting myself up for that. Like, they lost. Like, Sammy and Mahi Miracle years ago. It was like, great. Ravens lost. Ravens last game. They're not going to make a Super Bowl. Not going to make a title game. And then it's like, Jacoby Jones catches it. And you're like, what? Nah. He didn't. What? It's tied? What? And you're like, nah. Like, it's just almost like, yeah. Like, that didn't. Like, I'm still in denial. I was like, did that actually happen? I'm like, it's just, what else can they put us through? This is amazing. But let's enjoy it while we can, right? So why it's entertainment at its finest, man. Can't script it.
That's right. So, hey, Josh, have we covered everything for this episode of The Call?
Quote the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCast. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Plus, if you like us over there and this all works out and Facebook likes us and everything like that, you'll be able to listen to the show directly over on our Facebook page. So that's pretty cool. So definitely Facebook is the place to be. We're posting all kinds of stuff. We didn't bring it up on the show, but we posted on the call earlier this week. Haloti Ngata will be joining the Ring of Honor on the Monday night game at halftime. So congrats to Haloti Ngata, and very well deserved from Haloti, Raven for life. But anyway, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast. Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snap and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan, I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, get us ready. We're going up to Denver, up against the Broncos. Take us out the way you always do.
Thank you, Brandon. And you must have read my mind or looked at my notes because you said going up to Denver. But speaking of going up, I'm going to give a shout out to our good friend, Glenn Clark.
That's right.
I heard he did a little thing today. He jumped out of a plane like I did.
I saw that, yeah.
And I saw it was a success. He said it was absolutely incredible. I want to give a shout-out to him. Good for him, my friend. Congratulations. You said it was your first ever jump. I know, Brandon, you tagged me earlier in the week on his post, saying, like, obviously, and I gave him a little post of advice, kind of what I went through and what I expected. And I saw his pictures before the show. Definitely want to give a shout-out at the end to just say congratulations on your jump. Again, another successful skydive trip from a friend of mine. So, Brandon, when are we going to get you up there?
Never going to happen.
Never going to happen. Ravens win their third title. I think I can get you up there. come on. We'll get you up there.
Yeah, if the Ravens win a Super Bowl, I'll consider it.
You heard it here first, folks. He will consider it. That's all I ask. I'm just kidding. But I wanted to give a shout-out. That's great. And like Brandon said and alluded to, we're going up mile high in the sky, the scene of the crime as we know it, Mile High Miracle. But what memories can be made this time in Denver? Ravens, given their history, like we covered with the infamous Monday night, Jason Neal missed field goal, Chris McAllister returning it. We've had some bouts with this team, you know, going back to 2000, right? The first ever Ravens playoff game in history to start the party. Festivus Maximus and Super Bowl 35 style. Obviously, the first ever playoff game in Baltimore, first ever Baltimore Ravens playoff game, period. And they beat the Broncos. And then, obviously, the Mile High Miracle game with the late, great Hall of Famer, Peyton Manning, under center in that game. So, what else can they do? The Ravens have put us on a roller coaster ride for the last 3 weeks as we just covered it all, right? Top to bottom. What memories can be made in Denver this time? How close is this game going to be? Are the Ravens going to pull it out? Are they going to make a sweat? Is it going to be a blowout loss? Is it going to be a blowout win? Who knows? But this is the beauty of watching the games. No one can predict it. And this is why we do what we do. We got to love watching them. And for those making the trip, speaking of the flock, making the trip out to Denver, have fun. Play hard out there. Enjoy the trip. And hope for the Ravens can give you another memory to last a lifetime, as some of my friends made in Detroit. It was incredible seeing their reactions and the screaming and jumping up and down and like, oh, my God. He did it. And obviously, when I got home, I finally reacted like that after watching the highlights a few times and was like, oh, my God, we actually did that. And you're like going around, running around like a crazy person and enjoying that improbable win. But like me and Brandon, but had Brandon things and get it done. I think it's going to be a tall task. We shall see. Ravens, Broncos, late afternoon window on the East Coast. Let's get it done in Mile High, everybody. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high into Mile High.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.